The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 8, Text 26, given by Dhanavir Das Vanachari on September 10, 1992, in Zephyrs Hills, Florida.
Translation. My Lord, Your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth, an education, an attractive personal beauty. Hi, Paul.
Yeah.
Hi, Paul. Intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing Him feelingly, O Govinda, O Krishna. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely 1, high parentage, 2, good wealth, 3, high education, and 4, attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. of this verse, very famous verse, and important, because sometimes people equate one's closeness with God or one's being favored by the Lord with how much material opulence one is blessed with as well. This is quite popular all over the world. People pray to God to please give them material wealth. Dharma begins with, they perform some religious ritual. They go to the church on Sunday, that's a ritual. And they listen to some prayers and they give some donation. But their aim is to get money. They feel that if God is pleased with them, then He will bestow blessings upon them. And their idea of blessings is artha, economic development. And with that money, then they can perform, they can fulfill their kama. They have sense gratificatory desires, so then they could be fulfilled. And then they're thinking that after they enjoy themselves because of their being pious, that they'll get moksha, liberation, or salvation. It's like nowadays we see here in America. People think like this: let me enjoy my senses like anything, and because I accepted God or Jesus or something, then I'm going to go to heaven. But if God were to take everything away from them, then sometimes these persons would become very disturbed. When they're very wealthy, they don't think about God. When everything is very enjoyable, when they're buying their new cars, when they're buying their new houses, God is not on their minds. But when they're asking for something, so because of that, sometimes the Lord, if He sees that someone is a little sincere to serve Him, but at the same time is still attached to material opulences, then He may take the material things away and leave the person in a poor condition. This is this was discussed also in Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Lord Krishna, why is it that the Vaishnavas are often poor and the worshippers of Lord Shiva are often very wealthy? So it seems contradictory. Why would Krishna's or Vishnu's devotees be poverty-stricken? The answer is that Lord Krishna is more concerned about the ultimate well-being of His devotees. Just like a doctor. For example, here in the purport, the example is given of a person who has a fever. So if a patient has a very high fever, 104 degrees, so the doctor must try to help bring down the fever. So he will probably not give the patient very opulent things to eat, and he will not engage him in very active program, but he'll probably have him lie down, drink a lot of cold liquids, and in this way try to bring the fever down. But if he feeds him very hot, spicy foods and rich foods and engages him in some strenuous activity, then the person's fever may increase and he may die. So in the same way, everyone is already mad after sense gratification. So the Lord then, rather than increase their fever for material desires, he takes the objects away. And then when they have nothing left, then they think, oh, I'll just surrender to Krishna. Krishna is my only wealth. Srila Prabhupada told how he was very wealthy, but because Krishna wanted to show his real blessings upon him, he took everything away. And thus Srila Prabhupada, in his own words, he was actually benefited and he took complete shelter of Krishna. He started this movement. So we should not be disappointed if our material wealth is taken away by Krishna. After all, it doesn't belong to us. Everything belongs to Krishna. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. And whatever I think I own, that's my illusion. It's only temporarily being loaned to me by the real owner, or the proprietor is Krishna. So I can use it in his service, but if at some point Krishna takes it away, I should not be disappointed. This is the position of a Vaishnava. Anasaktasya Vishayan Vitamupu Yunjita Nibandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktavaya Radhi Muchite Papanchikataya Bodhya Hari Sambandha Vastina Mamukshubi Parityago Palgu Vairagyam Uchite. So this is the verse, two verses by Rupa Goswami, describes the proper and improper way of dealing with the material world. The proper way, or at least dealing with renunciation of the material world, yukta vairagya is performed by the Vaishnavas, because they know how to renounce things properly. So how do you renounce things properly? Well, you use them in the service of the Lord. You give up the enjoying spirit, just like we may have a car. So how to renounce the car? So the impersonalist would say, drive it off a cliff. That would be their idea of renunciation. Just get rid of it, destroy it, blow it up. But a Vaishnava would say, no, why blow it up? You can use it, drive it, but don't drive it for sense gratification, drive it for the service of Krishna. Krishna Sambandha. Anything that's in relationship with Krishna should not be given up, but should be utilized. It's like this body. This body is a valuable machine. How much is this body worth? It's worth quite a bit. Look what it can do, so much service. People pay sometimes $50,000, $100,000 a year for someone to use his body, to get the service of this body. So if he works, say, 40 years and he gets $50,000 a year, how much is that? $2 million? So?
Two.
So it means $2 million. So the body is a very expensive machine, very valuable machine. So why throw it away? But use it. Instead of using it for material things, use it for Krishna. So in that sense, everything can be used. And that is real renunciation. Therefore, a devotee, he can even live in apparent opulence. It doesn't bother him. So someone may say, oh look, he's living in a very nice house. He's driving a very nice car. This means he must be a materialist. No, he's not necessarily a materialist. There's a story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat about one devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And this devotee, Pundarik Vidyaniti, so he lived in great opulence, very, very wealthy, well-to-do. And his house was all the finest furniture, very exquisite and expensive furniture, and he himself wore the most valuable clothes and jewels, and even his hair was perfumed, oiled and perfumed. He dressed himself very opulently. So there was one person, one devotee of Lord Chaitanya, who knew that actually this Pundarik Vidyaniti was a great Vaishnava, very exalted. And he wanted to convince another devotee, Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit, you know, is one of the members of the Panchatattva. But anyway, so he went there and he saw this Pundarik Vidyaniti living in such extraordinary opulence. All the furniture was very beautifully ornate. And he thought, "What? How is it that this person told me that I was coming to see a Vaishnava? This is no Vaishnava, this is a Karmi." This is what he was thinking. So at that point, the devotee who had brought him there recited some verses from the scriptures about Krishna and his Rasa Leela. And as soon as Pundarik Vidyaniti heard these descriptions, he went into ecstatic bliss, rolling on the ground, smashing the furniture, his clothes became disheveled, everything became a mess because of his ecstatic feelings. And then Gadadhar Pandit could understand, oh, this person, he's using all these opulence, but actually he's not attached to them, he's only attached to Krishna. Well, that is an example. And there are many examples, just like King Prataparudra. He was very wealthy, he was a king, he had all opulences, but he did not care for it at all. In fact, he said that if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves Jagannath Puri, then I will give up all my opulences. I will give up everything and just become a mendicant. That's how attached he was to Lord Chaitanya. He didn't care for the material things. He used them because, after all, they're part of the paraphernalia for a king. A king cannot be living like a pauper. Otherwise, it will be difficult for him to rule. He has to have the army, he has to have the wealth, the palace, the wives, the treasury, the elephants, the horses, all these things. This is part of being the king. So he had those things, but he only kept them because of it was part of his duty. And he considered that his duty was to serve Lord Jagannath. And when the Rath Yatra festival came, he personally would go out in front of the deity's cart and he would sweep the road in front, because he considered himself the humble menial servant of Lord Jagannath. But it's a fact that if one is not living in opulence, it's easier to become feelingly devoted to the Lord. Just like I know myself, when I found out about Krishna consciousness, one of the first, desires that we had was to give whatever wealth we had to Krishna, to give it to the pure devotee to use in Krishna's service. Because we knew that that wealth otherwise could be a cause of disturbance. In our neophyte state, we weren't very experienced in how to use money in Krishna's service. So better to give it to an experienced Vaishnava to use. And that way the burden is free. And as soon as that burden was lifted, then it became very easy to surrender to Krishna. Sometimes we see devotees who are very poor, they're going along serving nicely. But then, if they find out that they've just received a big inheritance, then they become captivated and they go back and try to enjoy the material opulence. Just like the sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvara. Their father was the a treasurer of the demigods, fabulously wealthy. So naturally the sons inherited his wealth. And what did they do with their wealth? In the material world, as soon as someone gets a lot of wealth, what does he do? Immediately, he brings many young women and he wants to take some intoxication and just go swimming naked. So that's what they did. Exactly that. It's like they have advertised all over, you can go for a cruise to the Bahamas. You can leave your clothes behind, you can just bring the young girls and drink and enjoy yourself. That's for those who have money. Obviously, if you don't have very much money, you won't be able to afford to go on such a cruise. You have to stay here and work just to pay your rent. But if you have enough money, then you don't have to stay and work. Your rent is already covered, or you buy the place. So that's the disadvantage of having a lot of money, that you don't have to work. And you can buy whoever you want. In the material world, they have a saying that everyone has their price. And that's basically true. In the material world, you can pretty much buy anyone or anything that you want. However, you can't buy Krishna. That's one thing you can't get with money. He's not interested. He's only interested in loving devotion. Now, if you have money and you use your money as an expression of your loving devotion, then Krishna will be satisfied. But if you just give the money thinking that you're going to purchase him, here, give this to Krishna. You know, here's some money, go give it to Krishna. No. He doesn't need your money. He's not interested in some kind of a bribe or... The demigods, they don't discriminate so much. If someone gives them something, then they reciprocate by also giving benedictions quite easily. But not Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a discussion. there's a quotation that Krishna says, I'm not a murkha, I'm not foolish. So when my devotee comes to me begging for something material, I don't necessarily give it to him. A parent doesn't give his child something that will be unhealthy for him just because he wants it. So in the same way, Krishna may take everything away. Yasya anugunami harishe taddanam shanai. When the Lord takes everything away, then it's easier to chant. So we see great personalities like Haridas Thakur. Where did he live? He lived in a cave. Shukadev Goswami. He gave up all opulence, took sannyas. This sannyas is very important because in that position it becomes more favorable to realize Krishna. It's not impossible to realize Krishna when one is wealthy, but it's more difficult. So we see that the Vedic culture recommends at a certain stage of life renunciation, especially for the brahmanas. For the brahmanas, sannyas is required. And for the kshatriyas, at least vanaprastha is required. So that at the last stage of life, one does not become entangled in all these material attachments. He gives them up before that, so that he can prepare himself for going back to Godhead. It's even said in the Bible that it's more difficult for a wealthy man to enter into the kingdom of God than it is to push a camel through the eye of a needle. It's very difficult. And so voluntarily renouncing Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikshartam Eka Purusha Puranaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Pipambu Devyastamaham Prapatye. Lord Chaitanya came to teach this renunciation and knowledge. Rupa Goswami also warned that atyahara means collecting more than required. If one works very hard to get a lot of money and he saves this money, then that money that he's holding on to, that may be a source of his fall down. Therefore, one should not keep more money. Prabhupada said, a Vaishnav, he's a beggar. So he'll beg for $10,000 or $1 million in the morning. And if he gets it, then by the next morning he'll be again a beggar because he will have spent it for Krishna. He doesn't stock. He doesn't save. Why? Because he knows that this, if I save it, then I might use it for sense gratification. My mind, he doesn't put trust in his mind. He's not very confident about his own advancement. He's very careful, just like a Vaishnava also. He will not go to the place where, say, the prostitutes remain, just to test out his renunciation. No, no. He doesn't go there thinking, well, I'm so renounced, I'll show everyone how renounced I am. I'll go and sit down with the prostitutes, but I won't be attracted. No. He stays away from them. If by chance he's put into a situation of allurement, then he will not fall down, such as Haridas Thakur was not allured. But he does not go seeking it. In the same way, a devotee is not very confident in his ability to always ch- choose to serve Krishna. Of course, he has confidence. He knows that by Krishna's grace, I'll always be strong and I won't become allured. But he doesn't put himself in a precarious position. And if he holds on to a great, large amount of money, or if he works very hard to get money, then he knows that Maya may capture me by this. And therefore, he's cautious. He makes arrangements. Yes, whatever money I get, it goes to Krishna. This is safe. Because he values his devotional service more than anything else. And he immediately, just like if you, like the other day, one of our devotees, he lost his wallet, he left his wallet. So, it was found in the street. So a lady, she found it, she immediately called up. Even though there was money in it, she called up and she reported it. She said, please come and get it. So that means she did the right thing. If she had kept it around for some time, then she knew that her mind might be thinking, well, maybe I'll just take the money. Maybe he's not going to get it. But she immediately acted. So therefore she was freed from the responsibility of taking something that didn't belong to her. That was very intelligent. So, in the same way, as soon as we get something, we should immediately give it to Krishna, because it's not ours. And we're not supposed to try to enjoy it. And if we have some bodily beauty, then we should simply use it for Krishna. What does that mean, use it for Krishna? It means that we should not be proud that I'm very beautiful, and we should not be very much interested in this so-called beauty. Buying all kinds of expensive clothes and things just to attract the opposite sex. This is not so conducive for spiritual life. One should... Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he was instructing his devotees, and especially the sannyasis, and he told them, do not dress luxuriously. Do not eat luxuriously. Do not discuss ordinary talks, gramya katha, nashunibe. So these are our guidelines for advancement in devotional service. Live a simple life, just accept what is the bare necessities to keep the body and soul together, and utilize the time and energy and everything in the service of Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.